Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Wrap-Up Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Alita. How you doing, Alita?
I am grieving because hockey is canceled forever, but it's going to be fine. We're all going to be okay. I know that you're upset about your Bruins. I'm really sorry. I know you're a huge Boston sports fan.
Is it really canceled, or are you just upset about an outcome?
Yeah, it's weird. Hockey was canceled mid-season. Its ratings weren't doing very well. People weren't liking the choices that the writers were making. It was like a really dumb twist for the Penguins to lose. Twists really ruin hockey, so...
Sounds right to me.
Yeah, so it's not coming back for another season.
Well, what a shame for the hockey likers.
I know. This is the first season of American Ninja Warrior that we have podcasted where the Penguins will not win the Stanley Cup that year.
What a shame.
I know. So if my podcasting ability severely decreases, it's because this is the first time that we aren't the champions. Very sad.
I feel like there was a season of football that was like, oh, it might not happen because there's some strike or something. And
yeah. Well, there was a lockout for hockey a little while ago, a few years ago. But that is not happening this time. It's just canceled because of the poor decisions that they've made. But go Golden Knights.
Well, there you go. Well, we are here to talk about Ninja versus Ninja, and we're going to be talking about the two wildcard episodes of this season of Ninja versus Ninja, and very excited to be talking about them. Very excited to be talking about this season. We're hopefully a little more timely with this episode than we have been on previous ones. We will talk about the final few playoff episodes as well. I don't know how many episodes there will be, but we'll probably get them out, maybe two at a time, maybe something like that. We'll see.
Yeah. I also have to issue a correction that's completely not my fault from last week, where I said that the wild cards were only going to be the teams that were the runners up in their episode, because the show said that, but that's not what happened. That is absolutely not how this works.
Yeah, it was not. I was,
I promise they did say that on like the next time on American Ninja Warrior, but I guess I don't know, just trying to amp up the excitement.
Yeah, because like I was like, yeah, that would make sense. Like I think it would be dumb if they just picked whoever they wanted to have a one, you know, just beat one person and you're in the playoffs, you know. But that's what they went with. So
yeah, and you know, some of them were like in the same episode. Like I only noticed it because like the first two teams that they were talking about was like the Midwest Muscle, the Dark Horse, and I was like, I feel like they went against each other last time, and then they're in the same episode here. So like, whatever. It's silly. They should have just done the runners up, but whatever.
All right. Well, let's talk about this episode. This first one, I believe this is episode 10 of Ninja versus Ninja. They did 9 episodes of qualifying 9 teams for the playoffs, and then they did 7 matchups of wildcard entries to get 7 more people for their Sweet 16 playoff thing.
This cannot have been the best way to do this, but they really just want so many episodes of this season.
So they have a new course for the wildcard episodes. There will be no back half. It will only be the first part of you know, what normally happens in an episode of Ninja versus Ninja is there are 4 teams, two of each, they pair them off and they face them off against each other in the first half of the course, and then the winners of those 2 face-offs will go against each other in the final round, where they take on the full course. It does not work that way in the wild card round. You are only competing on the first half of the course, and whoever wins that is moving straight on to the playoffs.
Yes, indeed. Do they have new obstacles here too?
They do.
Okay.
So we have the ring swing, where they swing that ring onto a hook and then grab another one and dismount. And then they have the bungee pipeline, where they've got these weird like tubular bungees that they have to, groups of them that they have to grab onto and go across to a big pipe that they have to climb down and dismount from. And those are going to be the obstacles for the wild card round. Do you like these ones?
I like the bungee ones a lot, the bungee one a lot, because you can pass each other on the side and then also fight each other on the pipe. I think it's a good mix of like opportunity for lead changes and also contact.
Yeah, we saw some great stuff happen on the Bungie pipeline.
The ring swing things are always annoying, though, like in stage two in Vegas this year, because it's just like once you miss once, like you either waste so much energy or like you don't have enough momentum to pick it back up again. So they're never my favorite.
Yeah. Well, the first matchup we have here is Team Midwest Muscle versus the Lizard Kings. And the first matchup of these teams is going to be Tyler Yamauchi versus Hunter Gerard. The Midwest Muscle, they went out in the qualifying round due to a few mistakes where the Lizards surprised people, did really well, went out in the finals round of their episode. So it'll be an interesting matchup here.
I like that you abbreviate them to just the Lizards. Yeah. Lizard Kings is way too long.
Tyler ends up missing the first hook on the ring swing. This is going to be a very common differentiator between the athletes in throughout both wildcard episodes. Missing that first hook is a big misstep, but he does manage to pull ahead on the Bungie pipeline, then misses at the wall, which allows Hunter to take the win from Tyler Yamauchi. The Lizard Kings are up 1-0.
Yeah, we're always talking about so many more worked well misses on Ninja because they're under that pressure.
And something to take note of, they love to put an exciting first leg at the very front of their episode. Mm-hmm. There's no way this happens naturally. They definitely edit it this way.
Because, really?
There's no way. Every single episode, there is a matchup like this where the lead changes multiple times and it's super close. Like every single time.
Maybe they just put their stars at the beginning.
That
they know will have good matchups. Okay.
Next up is Sarah Schoback versus Kirsty Pratt. Sarah still doing that dance I don't like.
Yeah, she's also not doing it right. I noticed it this time because I remembered you talking about it. And that's not, she's doing like a cheap version of the dance that she's trying to do. For people who don't know, it's that thing that the Backpack Kid did on Katy Perry's SNL performance, if anyone knows what that means. It's that dance. But she's not doing it right.
Oh, there you go. That's why I hate it, clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
She says she was nicer than she should have been on her first go around here.
Yeah, she's Midwest nice. That's a thing. Yeah. Which is so perfect that they put her against Kirsty Pratt, who is not Midwest nice.
Kirsty Pratt, meanwhile, has no time for you if you're in her way.
She said, I don't care if you're a man or a woman. Get out of my lane.
Yes.
Yeah, love her.
Sarah, unfortunately, hits the water on the rope and goes in pretty quickly, and Kirsty's going to take that round.
Yeah, I'm not shocked by that.
Yes. Next up is Kyle Soderman versus Ethan Swanson. Kyle did lots of sports, and also still not mentioning the Beastmaster thing.
He's not allowed. He did any sort of action sport that could hurt you. Which is not relatable to me because I played racket sports growing up, which it's kind of hard to hurt yourself severely.
Yeah, Kyle is kind of like a strange person to me because he doesn't look like a meathead, but he acts like a meathead. Like whenever he wins a match, he's like, "Whoa, in your face!" But you wouldn't expect that from like hearing him talk.
Yeah. Good thing he has such a meathead nickname, Soda Pop. That's really intense.
Ethan, meanwhile, used to be a dunker for the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah. Would you have known what sport the Chicago Bulls play if it was not indicated here?
Yes, because that's the team that Michael Jordan played for in Space Jam.
Yes, you are correct. So, I mean, Space Jam is where I get most of my knowledge about anything anyway, so that's fair. But this is really cool. Professional dunking, I feel like, is a really cool job.
There you go. Kyle just blazes ahead. Swanson does manage to catch up at the bungees, but Kyle will maintain his lead and win this one. Akbar likes Soda Pop. Akbar likes him.
I like you. Also, he continues to call him Soda Pop because he's explosive, which I didn't get before.
Yeah, because when I think of Soda Pop, which is a strange name for this podcast, I think of explosiveness.
I mean, I do too, because it's so disgusting that it like explodes in your mouth. I don't know. That's how it feels to me.
Well, there you go. So they're going to head to the relay here. The women are going to go first, and Team Midwest Muscle, they need to win two relays in a row if they want to stay alive here and move on to the playoffs. But the women are going to go first. Then it's going to be Hunter versus Tyler, and then Kyle versus Ethan. Just a lot of bland dude names, except for Hunter.
Hunter, I feel like, is a bland dude name.
I think it's less bland than Tyler, Kyle, and Ethan, which are like the most common.
Ethan is my favorite boy name in the world. And if I ever have a child, I'm naming him Ethan.
All right. All right.
just so you know, it's not that bland. It's not that common.
I mean, I have no problem with bland names. I wish I had a bland name, but, you know, this is when I'm reading Tyler, Kyle, Ethan, I'm like, does anybody know even who I'm talking about at this point?
Ethan is a strong Jewish name. Also, I changed my name to have a less common name. It's not as fun as you would think to have a common name. I didn't want it anymore.
Well, that's fine for you. Kirsty gives the Midwest Muscle a pretty decent lead, but Tyler has a huge fall on the tiles, which allows Hunter to catch up, and Kyle and Ethan end up battling on the bungees, but Kyle ends up winning that battle, and the Midwest Muscle is done, and Kyle is just losing his mind at the top of that wall.
Yeah, the worst possible place to be a sore winner is Ninja versus Ninja. Like, this is such a bad look.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, it's weird.
Yeah, it's, he's like screaming from the top of the warped wall.
Yeah. Like, this is not Beastmaster, okay?
Do they do that a lot on Beastmaster?
I guess, maybe. I don't pay attention enough. The Lizard Kings though are moving on. I'm excited to see the Lizard Kings in the playoffs. I feel like they did perform pretty well in their first episode.
Yeah, they have my favorite name.
There you go. Next up, we had Team Frostbite versus the All American Ninjas, and the first matchup here is going to be Jackson Meyer versus Paul Hamm. I also don't like Jackson Meyer's dance. Didn't like that. They just lost to the Phoenix team.
I did not even acknowledge Jackson Meyer's dance. I don't think that I took note.
There you go. Well, unfortunately, Jonathan Horton injured himself in qualifying and has been replaced by Rico Rivera for the All-American Ninjas. I found this to be incredibly strange, the amount of teams that were wild cards that didn't have the full team.
Yeah.
Why pick them I don't mean to like punish you for getting injured, but like, why not just take from a team that doesn't have a replacement? That makes for a more compelling story.
Yeah. I mean, this was so clear how much of a death trap Ninja versus Ninja still is. Like, I thought that they had done a much better job since Team of like being safer, but people are still hurting themselves left and right. I feel like there are certain teams that were gonna be a wild card regardless, like the All-American Ninjas. Like, they've got like these Olympians that I feel like they're not gonna ever not invite that team back. But I don't know,
they just wanted Paul Hamm back.
Is it Ham or Hum?
Hum, Ham, it's all the same.
Okay. I mean, it's spelled the same way as John Hamm, so maybe it's Hamm. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Hamm is going to miss on the rings to the surprise of the commentators. He should be so good on these rings. He's the best gymnast ever, but he's going to have trouble on those rings.
Yeah, but it's not like when you're a gymnast and you're performing on the rings. It's not like the rings like move around and swing. Like, this is a very different thing.
Very different thing. But he misses on those rings and cannot catch up. So Jackson is going to take this one. I'm sure you're loving that. Boy Scout Jackson Meyer now gets to say that he beat Paul Hamm in the race.
Love you, Bay. Love you, Jackson. Call me.
Next up is Janique Lovett versus April Steiner Bennett. And the warped wall was her enemy in American Ninja Warrior proper for Janique, but she made it up in Ninja versus Ninja, so she's very excited about that.
Yeah, I didn't realize this was her first one. How quickly I forget.
There you go. April Steiner Bennett is a pole vaulter.
Yeah, when it was new for women in some context. I don't really know what she meant by that. Maybe like a new Olympic sport? I don't know.
I also don't know. I think, actually thinking about it, like, everybody I know personally that's a pole vaulter, all women. And everyone I know from American Ninja Warrior that's a pole vaulter, all women.
You personally know pole vaulters?
I was in track.
Wow. We did not have that at my school. We had track. Did we? Yes, we had track, but we didn't have field.
Yeah, I don't know a single male pole vaulter. I know that there are some, but I don't know of any.
Yeah, I only know Megan Martin, and I don't know who are the other famous female pole vaulters on American Ninja Warrior besides this woman.
There are more for sure.
Yeah, there definitely are. I don't remember.
So Janique is undefeated in team competition, and she is the first to the bungees, and she gets to the pipe first, but gets her foot wet. And that is going to be unfortunate for her. She's going to miss the warped wall. It all comes back to the warped wall being her enemy. So April is going to be able to surpass her because of that miss and take the round. Janique will no longer be undefeated.
Yeah, and she also dances really terribly at the top of the warped wall. I guess this is a thing now.
There you go. Next up is Rico Rivera versus Nick Hansen. Rico was the T-Rex in that viral T-Rex video.
I've actually seen this video. This is the first time they've ever said, remember that viral video? And I have actually seen it because I feel like someone tagged me in it on Facebook or something, like in the comments. They're like, look at this.
There you go. Nick Hansen. Guess what, guys? He's the Eskimo Ninja.
He's from Alaska. And they acknowledge, like, this team doesn't really make sense. They're all from completely different places and don't know each other.
The complete opposite of the All-American Ninjas, which are, like, very, very tight formula for be an Olympic athlete.
Yeah. These are just like, here are three people.
Yeah. Rivera misses the ring swing transition, but then Nick misses the dismount. So they end up taking the floating tiles on at the same time, but Rico is going to miss that last tile and go down, which allows Nick to take the round, sending them to a relay.
Yeah. The sad part about having all of these replacements is that there's so much pressure on these replacements, and I don't think any of them do well across these two episodes. Like, I don't think any of them get the point for their team.
They just don't. They don't have as much practice.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like, understandable, but it's also like a bummer.
It is, yeah. So we head to the relay. The team All-American Ninjas is going to need two back-to-back relay wins if they want to take this home. The women are going to go first. Then it's going to be Paul versus Jackson, and then Nick versus Rico. To start it off, it's neck and neck for the women. But Paul is going to miss again on the ring swing, which allows Jackson to pull way ahead. And then Nick is going to take it home, and the Frostbite team is going to go on to the playoffs.
The Frostbite team.
Yes, Team Frostbite. Moving on, we've got the Dark Horse versus the NorCal Ninjas. We got David Campbell back.
Yeah, and my friend Tammy, but we're not going to actually see her.
No, we're not. To start it off, it's going to be Carson Voiles versus David Campbell. Dark Horse came up just short last time. David Campbell, probably my favorite intro package of the season so far. He thought he was out, but now they've got him back doing it again, which is a Godfather reference. I know Lita hasn't seen it.
Read it. It's also a book.
I thought that was great. He's the Godfather. He makes a Godfather reference. They lost by 0.02 seconds in qualifying, so that's why they are back here to compete. Carson versus David, they both crash into the water at the floating tiles, but unfortunately Carson got there first, so Carson is going to take the point from David.
Yeah, there's a lot of physicality, a lot of blocking each other on some of these obstacles. But this is like what happened on the floating tiles? They like tussled a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think they took it on about like the same time. They were both there very, at mostly the same time. Carson gets on them first, and then David tries to go like right behind him. And so they end up both crashing. This happens a couple times throughout these episodes.
Yeah, I like that. That's fine.
Yeah. So next up, we montage the women here. Tammy McClure versus Amy Shoemaker. Tammy ends up taking the win here.
Yeah, and they made it further than the men that we just watched.
Yeah.
They both made it past the floating tiles. Like, there's actually, it's getting ridiculous. It's going to happen like one or two more times over this episode and the next episode, where it's so clearly not just like, well, they both did really badly, so we just montage the worst one. It's like, it's only the women, and it's over and over again, regardless of how they do.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I don't understand.
Next up, we're going to get Lance Pecus versus Brian Kretsch. Lance is the face of Ninja Warrior for Idaho.
Well, yeah. I mean, who's the competition? Oh, Tammy. She's also from Idaho.
There you go. Brian Kretsch, on the other hand, does not even get a package. Lance gets this big package about being famous in Idaho. Brian does not get a package at all. So at this point, I'm like, okay, so clearly Brian Kretsch loses here, and the NorCal Ninjas are sent home because they didn't even bother to give him a package. And this is a must-win race for Brian.
Yeah, but it also could be like, well, we know we'll have time to give him another package in the future.
So
we have to do Lance now. Is there a face of Ninja Warrior for every state?
Because
for Pennsylvania, it would definitely be Najee.
That's true.
I don't know who it would be for Massachusetts.
Who knows? I don't know. You can't have one for every state.
Okay, I was just testing your ninja knowledge of Massachusetts.
All right. Well, Kretsch ends up getting caught in the net before the ring swing, but does manage to take this round, and the NorCal Ninjas are not out of it.
Yeah, a lot of messing up on the floating tiles.
Lots of messing up. So we head to the relay, and the NorCal Ninjas are going to need to win two straight relays if they want to move on to the playoffs. The women are going to be first, then it's going to be Carson versus Brian, and then Lance versus David. So the women are going to go, they're going to tag Carson and Brian. Carson Voiles will end up missing the ring swing, but then the hook for the ring swing, but then Brian misses the dismount on the ring swing. But he does manage to keep a slight lead. David manages to keep that lead and stay ahead of Lance on the bungees, and the NorCal Ninjas are going to win this first relay. We're going to head to the final relay.
Exciting.
Very exciting. So we've got the same lineup. This time, Amy is going to get caught up in the net and give Carson Voiles a big lead. So it's not looking great for the NorCal Ninjas. So heading into the final part, Lance is up on the bungees and David is behind. But David Campbell manages to catch up and just push past Lance on the bungee pipeline. He grabs the pipe, he gets down, and David Campbell wins it for the NorCal Ninjas. The NorCal Ninjas come from behind victory. They will be moving on to the playoffs. Very exciting.
Yeah, and this should hopefully ensure that David Campbell gets invited to American Ninja Warrior.
Hopefully. He did some body positioning jujitsu.
Is that what Akbar says?
Yes.
Oh, great. My favorite workout class.
There you go. So that was the episode, the first episode for the wild cards. Then we move on to the next episode. It's the same course, same format. So we're just going to move on to the next team matchup here. It's Team Wolfpack versus the Hazard Brigade. And we've got your favorite here. It's Dan Yeager versus Mike Nita.
Oh, you weren't joking. Dan Yeager actually is my favorite, but okay.
No, it worked on multiple levels because you love Dan Yeager, but Mike also Nita, I get to make fun of you for Mike Nita.
I don't know why I had it written down as Nita last time. Like every time I wrote it, I don't know why. It's hard to hear those final consonants if it's like an N or an M.
I guess so.
Whatever. This is the guy who's 115 pounds and they won't shut up about it.
Yes, Mike Needham up against Dan Yeager. The Wolfpack, Team Wolfpack, they lost in the final relay of their team, where Hazard Brigade was doing well but ended up choking. Interesting matchup here. Dan Yeager is going to miss his first ring swing hook, but this is crazy. This is, again, first matchup of the episode. Yeager manages to catch up on the bungee pipeline. He grabs onto the pipe and slides down it right behind Needham.
It's like a big hug.
Yeah, he's literally just like stopping Mike from getting any momentum so he can't dismount, and forces him to drop into the water and just like very gracefully just like sidles along past him on the side and does a dismount and goes up the wall and takes the win from Mike.
Yeah, I would have felt really bad if I was Dan Yeager, but this was really cool.
This was amazing. One of the best come from behind victories here. Then we had Jerry D'Aurelio versus Grace Sims. Jerry works out with Megan Martin and does some great thigh exercises.
Yeah, they always put these things on Instagram. They're really cute. They do like these weird little exercises.
Grace Sims, I still think it's weird that Grace Sims is not on the same team as
Brett Sims.
It's like they have boyfriend and girlfriend on the same team all the time. I guess Alyssa and James aren't
but
always
they,
on the same team.
They weren't together when
exactly
the first teams formed, so that's kind of different.
Yeah, so it's just like it's a little weird.
But she's a wedding photographer in Colorado. I bet there's a lot of really beautiful weddings there.
Probably. Jerry's going to take the lead at the ring swing and just crush the bungees. And then Grace, who's trying to come from behind, is going to fall in at the bungees. And Jerry's going to take this point.
Yeah, it was a pretty good matchup until then, though.
Yes. So the Wolfpack is up 2-0, and we're going to go to Mike Bernardo versus Ian Dory. Mike just wants to have some fun, and Ian has made it to the national finals every season he's competed.
Yeah, definitely very comparable packages. Yeah. Like, he's one of the most decorated ninjas of all time. And Mike Bernardo, he just wants to have a good time.
Ian takes the lead at the floating tiles, and ultimately Mike falls in on the bungees because he's trying to make up time by skipping bungees, but he just can't do it. So Ian completes the sweep. The Wolfpack is moving on to the playoffs.
No relay necessary.
Yes. Next up was the Beasts from the East versus the Wisco Warriors. And I was not happy to see these two teams facing off against each other because I like both of them. And I also feel like I want the Beasts from the East to move on. And I feel like the Wisco Warriors were very tough competition. I would have preferred to see them take on an easier team. But turns out I didn't have to worry.
Yeah. And also, I'm glad that the location named teams are finally facing off against each other.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not like, I mean, I still feel like it should be regions, like NorCal versus East. Beasts from the East makes more sense than just like specifically Wisconsin. But I like to have the location parity.
Yes. So first up is James McGrath versus Drew Canop. And the Beasts were just short in qualifying. And Sarah Heeson from the Wisco Warriors was injured and has to be replaced.
So you will not have to hear our terrible wordplay on Sarah Beast and Heeson.
Instead, we've got Christine Ahn.
Yeah, who we won't see anything from.
No. James is going to take the lead at the ring swing, and Drew is going to go down at the floating tiles, making it an easy win for James.
Oh, wait. Also, instead of like explaining what her injury was, they were like, we'll just let her sign explain it because Sarah Heeson is holding a sign. And it says, like, you're going to crush the course just like I crushed my sternum. Jesus Christ. I'm thinking it's probably like, I don't know, a little ankle tweak, maybe neck thing, but like crushing your sternum.
And she looked so sad as the Wisco Warriors were not doing well.
God, it was, crushing your sternum. I don't wish that on anyone. That sounds so painful.
Yeah. Well, next up, we get the women montaged again, Erica Cook versus Christine Ahn. Christine apparently took the lead on the ring swing, but went down on the floating tiles, which allowed Erica Cook to make it across the floating tiles and take the win for the Beasts.
Erica Cook and her bionic leg.
Yes, she looks like a robot. It's very cool.
Yeah. I just realized how weird it is that Sarah Beast and Heeson is not on the Beasts from the Northeast.
Right?
Because when you said that originally, that she was sad that the Wisco Warriors was, I was like, wait, which team is she on? None of this makes sense. This is all very confusing. Now there's all these random people mixed into the teams, all these alternates.
There you go. Final matchup here, Dave Kavanaugh versus Andrew Philibeck. It's a must win for the Wisco Warriors, and they both end up taking on the floating tiles at the exact same time. But Dave got there first. However, Dave falls into the water and Andrew manages to hold on and stay above water on the floating tiles, and he takes the win.
Yeah, I would not want to get on Dave Kavanaugh's bad side. He has a very intense face.
He does.
Also, Drew's shirt just says Drew on the back, but he like makes sure to like turn around and show it to the camera.
It doesn't say Can't Stop Canop.
No, I thought it was going to say something cool, but his shirt just says Drew on the back and he like draws attention to it, which I thought was kind of lame.
You think it's lame to have a shirt with your name on it?
No, I think it's weird to like make sure to like turn around and highlight it at your like starting line thing. I don't know. Also, normally shirts like that, like all of my like athletic gear has my last name on it and my number.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess get him a better shirt.
So they head to the relay. The women are going to be first, and then it's going to be Dave versus Andrew, and then James versus Drew. sorry, is that right? Yes, Drew Knopf. Andrew and Drew. Wow.
Yeah, Drew Knopf and Andrew Philbeck. It is confusing. And it's more confusing because Andrew's shirt says Drew on the back. This is what I'm saying. It's a bad shirt.
So Erica is going to take an early lead for the beasts, with Christine falling a bit on the rope swings. And then Andrew is going to miss on the rings, which is going to make an easy win for James to take it home on the bungees, and the beasts take this. The beasts from the Easts are moving on to the playoffs.
Good. I'm glad. James McGrath deserves the world.
Yes. Next up, we've got the Big Dog Ninjas versus the Hashtag Ninjas. Two of the best names.
I was about to say, it's a battle of your two favorite names in the whole competition.
Yeah. First is Nicholas Coolidge versus Jody Avila. Nicholas Coolidge is an Instagram sensation, and the hashtags fell just short at the final relay.
Mm-hmm. They love that hand symbol, the hashtag hand symbol. And I know you love it, too. That's why they do it so much.
Yeah. The big dogs train together.
Yeah. Jody Avila is tall.
He is. I noticed Jody had to shorten his strides on those opening steps, which actually made him slower, which was interesting.
They also do the thing where, like, when they're comparing the stats, I've never seen them do this before. Normally, they talk about, like, they have really different experience levels or, like, really different weights or whatever. They're like, they have total opposite jobs. Like, their difference in jobs is gigantic, where it's like Nicholas Coolidge is an Instagram star and Jody Avila is an acrobat, and Jody Avila as an air conditioning technician, which are not even the two most different jobs that I can think of.
No, not necessarily.
I feel like those both are like physical, like require physical strength. I feel like what were you going to say?
I did find it interesting that like in Ninja Warrior, the air conditioning technician is like the that's kind of a weird job to have for a ninja, where like if you see somebody as an acrobat, you're like, yeah, that's normal. But in everyday life, you'd be like, you're an acrobat. like it's totally flipped.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like totally opposite jobs would be like receptionist and like Pokemon trainer, because those are different in like every way. Because Pokemon trainer is not even a real job. So that
there are plenty of receptionists in the Pokemon games that are Pokemon trainers.
Is that true?
I'm sure.
Okay, but I'm talking about like if you're a real life receptionist and also a Pokemon trainer. Those are already fundamentally different in that they exist in different realities.
I just feel like if you're going to go with different realities, there's a much more difference you can make than receptionist and Pokemon trainer.
Okay. Well, what are the more occupations in universes that don't exist that are different from?
How about like receptionist and like glooper?
What is that?
It's a made up job that I just made up.
Those are more different. You're right.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
What does a glooper do?
They are gloop and they also pick up gloop.
Oh, so they get bigger.
No, they don't get bigger because they have to discard their gloop in the proper gloop storage compartment.
So then who picks them up? Who picks that up? We're in an infinite loop.
They store the gloop. The gloop is used for fuel.
Okay. Wow, you're right. You really showed me.
It's a very different job.
Yeah, it's really different from a receptionist.
All right, so Jody gets hung up on the rings. He was trying to, I saw that when they did the replay, when he was trying to detach the ring from the hook, he was pulling on the wrong side. So instead of how the hook worked was there was a center pole and there were two sides of the hook that you could hook it onto. He had it hooked on the left side and he was trying to pull it off on the right side. So the middle bar was getting in the way. And then he finally was like, oh crap. And he went to the left. But by then he was already behind. He stumbles some more on the floating tiles and Nicholas is just going to take this. Jody is also going to struggle on the bungees. I noticed definitely that having more weight is going to be a significant disadvantage on the bungee pipeline because the more weight you have, the more the bungee are going to drop, and you really need to get a very high grip if you weigh more, whereas you have a little more leeway if you're lighter.
Yeah, especially if you're Jody Avila, and if you drop a little bit, your feet are going to get wet.
Exactly. So Nicholas takes that round. Next up is Larissa Cottle versus Brandy Monteverde, and Larissa Cottle is a concrete worker and mother.
Yeah, concrete worker is really our like default job on American Ninja Warrior.
And Brandy Monteverde is a very similar opponent. And I was like, because she's also a mother?
Yes.
Like,
literally, okay. Yes. They're like, they are basically exactly the same. I'm shocked they didn't get mom-taged here.
Yeah. It was this point in the episode that I was like, do we really have, like, any woman who has children needs to be a mom? Like, is that really, like, where we are here?
Yeah, I mean, once in a while, if, like, a male competitor, like, had a new baby that year, they'll make the package mm-hmm. about that. But, like, this woman has three kids that none of them she had in, like, the last year. Like, it's not like if a guy just comes into the competition and he has kids, that's, like, his whole identity.
She's not even a single mom, I don't think. Like, she has a husband with, like a single mom is at least, like, a little bit more of, like, a, you know, like, oh, they're single mom, like, that. But, you know, like...
Great impression of someone reacting to a single mom.
No, that's Matt. She's a single mother.
Yeah, she just seems to have, like, a very nice life. But so they make her whole thing that she's a mom.
It's just like when we're getting a package on Ian Dory, we're not like the father, Ian Dory. You know, it's just it's weird.
Yeah. We talk about how he's been a rock climber since he was 5 years old or whatever.
Yeah. But Brandy is going to be very hesitant on the course. She really approaches it with a lot of caution. And Larissa is the opposite. She's just like bouldering ahead. Cottle is going to pull way ahead here. They both body slam on the floating tiles in the exact same spot, which is interesting because like Brandy Larissa, who is just like throwing herself on the obstacles, she body slams into this tile, gets up, continues on. Then Brandy takes it on, who has been very cautious, is trying to avoid that from happening, And then she body slams the same part, and that takes her just completely out. It takes her breath away. She can't pull herself up, and Brandy is out. Larissa's going to take the win.
Yeah, I don't know if she crushed her sternum, because that would be how it happens.
Probably. Next up, the final matchup here, Jesse LaFleur versus Josh Salinas. Jesse LaFleur has 40 million views on YouTube.
Again, I have no frame of reference for how much that is.
It's 40 million.
Yeah, but like, I'm not a YouTube person. I don't know. I don't know how much.
Yeah, I don't know either, to be honest. I think like Rooster Teeth has like over a billion. So it's not exactly.
What is that?
You also don't know Rooster Teeth, and they have like.
Oh, you've definitely talked about higher. Them before, but I.
Yeah.
Do they do a slow-mo cam? Is that how this came up?
Yeah, Gavin from Rooster okay. Teeth also does the slow-mo guys, which is part of the Rooster Teeth network.
Okay, well, say. I'm looking up how many views my favorite music video has, which is Judas by Lady Gaga. That has 300 million, so 40 million really yeah. isn't that great, Jesse.
I mean, it's good, but it's not superstardom by any means. Josh Salinas was a top rookie last year, and this is a must-win matchup for him if he wants the Big Dog Ninjas to survive. He does take the lead early and flies through the ring swing. He's way ahead at the bungees, but just falls in right there. His feet miss the trampoline, and just like that, the hashtags will win and sweep this, and we'll be moving on to the playoffs.
We'll get to see more hand symbols. Josh Salinas was so impressive here, though.
Yeah.
Like, that was just such a little mistake. We've seen so many people mess up on trampolines before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunate. The final team matchup here is going to be Three Wishes versus the Ballers, and it's going to be a fun one. They've been hyping this up for a long time. Thomas Stillings versus Lauren Ball. Who's going to win?
Yeah, I feel like it lives up to that hype. That's a good matchup. Yeah.
So first up is Paul Kazmir versus Jeff Lancaster, who is a replacement for somebody that I didn't
write down. Brian Burkhart.
There you go. So the Ballers, they lost in the final relay. Jeff is a replacement. Paul Kazmir, as I've said, one of my favorites from the OG Ninja Warrior show. He's been to Japan. So that's fun.
Like to compete in Sasuke, or he's just been to Japan?
He competed in Sasuke.
That would be like a weird fun fact for you to throw out.
They bump into each other on the ring swing. But Jeff manages to stay ahead on the bungees, then misses the warped wall, which opens the door for Paul to sweep in here and take the win.
Yeah. He's so close. It's because he was like changing lanes on the warped wall. He should have just run up the other side of the warped wall.
Yep. Then we montage the women again. Mailing Wong versus Brittany Hanks, and Wong takes the lead early, and Brittany ends up going down on the floating tiles, so Wong is going to take that one.
Yep. Great.
Then we have Lauren Ball versus Thomas Stillings, and Lauren is I did not know this stat, but it's actually pretty impressive. Lauren has finished with the fastest time in the city qualifying 4 times in a row, which is a record that it still holds to this day.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Thomas Stillings has not even competed in 4 city qualifying runs.
Yeah, but both of their packages are like, here's Lauren Ball, he's really good at ninja. Like, here's Thomas Stillings, he's also really good at ninja. Like, we don't talk about their lives at all.
Yes.
And also, just like to that point about the Lauren Ball stat, I feel like Ninja vs. Ninja has been a good opportunity for them to have like the time to kind of honor their veterans in a way that they haven't been doing on the actual show.
Yes, definitely, which I very much appreciate.
Yeah.
I like Thomas Stillings, but his package, he's like, there's one moment in every run that defines the whole thing, and it will define whether or not you win or you lose. And I was just like, oh my, really, man?
Like, why don't you like that?
It just sounds it sounds a little pretentious.
Yeah, it's like, thanks for coming to my TED talk, the way that you were talking about it.
It's like really, there is one moment in every run for every athlete. Like, you know this secret. Like, at least say, like, for me, there has always been one moment that's defined my run every time. And, you know, something like whether or not I'm going to win or lose. This is a sweeping statement that just sounds more like meaningful than it is, because ultimately it means nothing.
Thomas Stillings can tell me his fake contemplative ideas about ninja all day with his haircut and his sweet blue eyes.
I had to sell you on that haircut.
Yeah, you did, but you're totally right. He's so handsome.
Yeah. It's going to be Lauren Ball versus Thomas Stillings. Stillings takes a big lead on the ring swing, and he keeps that lead through most of the run here, but Lauren will make it close at the wall. Ultimately, though, Thomas Stillings is going to win this matchup. It's going to be the fastest run of the night, and they're going to call this the drive of the night as well, which, I must say, I wasn't really in agreeance with. I felt like the Dan Yeager versus Mike Needham was way more exciting.
It's the Mitsubishi Motors drive of the night, Darren.
They don't sponsor our podcast.
Well, they also did the Mitsubishi Motors matchups at the beginning of the episode. Like, it's really doing double sponsorship here. Yeah, I kind of, I'm glad that the Ballers ended up winning, because I felt bad that Lauren Ball, like, against literally anyone else, would have won this, because it was the fastest of the night and he was like 1 second behind Thomas Dillings.
Yes. Well, they do go to the relay, the three wishes need to win two in a row here. The women are first, and then it's Lauren versus Jeff, and then Paul versus Thomas. And Wong is going to give the Ballers an early lead, but then Jeff manages to pass Lauren on the ring swing. However, Lauren dismounts from the ring swing very quickly and goes right past Jeff before the floating tiles, gets to the floating tiles first, gets through them, and gives Paul a lead heading into the bungees. Thomas starts to catch up at the bungees, but Paul manages to dismount and get up the wall for the win. He keeps the lead. Thomas does make it close, but ultimately the Ballers are going to win this and move on to the playoffs.
Yeah, and all credit to Lauren Ball. That was amazing.
That was the game-winning move right there. Yeah, for sure. I was convinced that that he had lost the lead there, but he manages to make it up. That's what being a parkour person does for you.
Oh, a parkerson.
Yeah.
I believe is the official athlete name.
There you go. So that is it. That is it for the two wildcard episodes.
Yeah. So now they tried to explain how this is going to work next week. I already forgot. What are we doing next week?
I think that we're just doing this tournament style and that we're probably going to get another four teams next time.
How does
and
the
they're
going
to go back to the regular format, but who knows? There's no point in speculating. We'll just wait and see.
Okay, I just mean they like said like next time on Ninja Warrior, and I like did not follow. They were like, here's all these people. You're going to see
this
guy.
Yeah, they were just like
guy.
This person, this yeah. person, this person, and this person. And I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah. So look forward to that. I am looking forward to it. I will say, I think I preferred the regular episodes to the wildcard episodes. I like seeing the full course and seeing more of the same teams instead of like just quick matchups, one after another.
Yeah. Four teams in an hour episode is a lot.
Yeah. Four matchups, you mean, which is eight total teams.
Right.
Yeah, which is double the amount that we usually see, which is quite a lot. But looking forward to what they do here in the playoffs. I think that for the most part here, we ended up getting a lot of the teams that I was really sad that we lost along the way. So I am happy about that.
Yes, I agree. More of the beasts from the East.
All right. So looking forward to that. We will be back probably in a couple weeks to talk about a couple of these playoff episodes. And then we've got more Ninja coming our way with more Ninja. We got the celebrity special that's coming up, right?
Yes. Celebrity special. I think it's like May 24th or something for Red Nose Day. And they have stepped it up with the celebrities. Even Tara knew who some of these celebrities were.
I knew who one of them was, right?
You knew.
At least.
Yeah, you knew one of them. You also knew Akbar. And now you know who Derek Huff is because he was on last year. So that's like three out of, I don't know, there's like eight. But yeah, Akbar is competing. So that's exciting. I'm ready for it. It's all people that I've heard of. So.
All right. Well, looking forward to that and everything else with
our
Ninja coverage.
Are we going to talk about the announcement of the new spinoff of American Ninja Warrior?
Oh, yes. We have a new children's version of American Ninja Warrior. I believe the age range is 9 through 15, something along those lines. They're looking for to cast this and get some children involved in American Ninja Warrior.
Absolutely not to all of this is what I have to say. But if you are a parent who listens to our podcasts, just throwing it out there for you that they are now casting.
Yes. Well, I see. I would have loved this as a child. I just on the Taran show talked with my trainer, Mike Vacanti, who has done he trained Gary V. He helped the Staples brothers with the Ultimate Sweat Bet. Lots of fun stuff that he's done. But one of the things I talked to him about was that, like, I was very frustrated when I finally like learned about fitness and nutrition like in college, and I feel like if there was something I would have been like I could have been passionate about as a kid that had to do with being active, I could have like learned that information a lot sooner. And if American Ninja Warrior had been in my life, I think I would have really enjoyed training for it and trying to be on the show, and I think it would have been a lot of fun for me.
You didn't grow up playing sports?
Well, I mean, I eventually did do cross country, but it wasn't like I still, that was one of the things that frustrated me. Like even in cross country, like these sports I was doing, they weren't like, oh, here's how nutrition works.
Yeah.
You know, like here, what, this is what a calorie is. It was like, no, dieting sucks and is super hard and is impossible. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going
to
do it then.
Yeah. I think one of the benefits, I went to a school for like artists and nerds. So instead of making us actually play sports in gym class, we did a lot of like sit down and take notes and learn about fitness.
Yeah, well, but even that, like forcing kids to be active, it's not going to work. Like, if they're not passionate about it, but this is something, kids love Ninja Warrior, kids love obstacle courses. I would have loved to do an obstacle course. If I knew that, there was something like this, then, and especially if there were like ninja gyms around and I could meet ninjas and like train, like this just seems like a really, cool thing for kids to do. I don't know about the television aspect of it. I'm never a fan of putting children on television.
Yes, that's what I'm going for here. I'm not saying this is a bad thing for society. I'm saying I do not want to watch this.
But I do think it's a cool thing in terms of just like the opportunity for kids to be able to compete. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe we'll do a one-off episode about it.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong. Taryn Lita is at Lita Tweeted. You can also follow her on Instagram at Lita Grammed. Make sure you check out the Twitch that I'm doing. I'm on Twitch, Taryn Armstrong. I've been playing some God of War. We're probably also going to get some Secret Hitler games in there and lots more. So make sure you follow me there on Twitch.
God of War is really violent, in case people don't know.
It is. I got it's impaled really by a claw the other day, and it hurt.
Yeah, it's just a content warning in case you're trying to check out Taryn's streams. I watched Conan O'Brien play it with Bill Hader.
I haven't watched that yet because there are apparently late game spoilers in it.
Oh, it's so funny. It is so funny.
I plan on watching it. Yeah. I enjoy that series.
So I was like, oh, this is the game that Taryn plays, and I love Bill Hader. And I was like, this is disgusting.
I mean, I generally feel like if the game is called God of War, you probably don't need an additional disclaimer.
It's the child that upsets me.
Yes, there is a child. There is a child.
You should play Tetris on Twitch.
The child's name is Boy. That's no, not really. His name is Atreus, but Kratos calls him Boy all the time.
Okay.
Boy.
Yeah, well, I'll check that out.
That was adequate, Boy.
Oh, I love good parenting.
Yeah, I spend half the stream complaining about Kratos' parent.
I don't think it's really the point of the game.
And actually, they focus a lot on the relationship between Kratos and his son, and how he's a bad parent at first, but he's slowly becoming better.
Aw, that's so nice.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for Kratos that he's working on himself.
Me too. So yeah, that's what we've got for you this week. Hopefully this gets out to you sooner rather than later. Hopefully you're enjoying our coverage. Hopefully you're enjoying the season. We are nearing the end of the Big Brother Canada coverage. So if you are a Big Brother Canada person, we've got tons of stuff coming out for you. We talked about the final three and their games on the Monday update, or on the morning updates, I should say. 2 hour long podcast. We did a 2.5 hour long roundtable the other night. So lots of fun stuff there. Thank you everyone for joining us. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can leave a review. Do the fun stuff there.
Yes, rate and review us. We've been getting ratings but not reviews, and it's really rude of you guys, because I get excited when I see another star rating and they're all 5 stars, which is lovely, but then I go and there's no more reviews.
So the next time you go on iTunes and you leave a rating, just think about Lita going and checking the ratings and going, oh, 5 stars, What a jerk. I can't believe this person went out of their way to give us 5 stars on iTunes, and they didn't go the extra mile to also write a review. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'll write a review template for you, and then we can just copy and paste it.
I think that's how you get kicked off of iTunes.
Well, I'm not writing the review. It's people who want to already rate us and review us, but don't want to go through the effort of coming up with something to write.
I will write a review template that says Taryn is amazing and that girl he has on is okay, I guess.
Okay, well, that's a terrible template. I feel like that.
I think it's a fun template.
Well, now people are just going to write that because you've already given them the template.
I think they're more likely to write it now that you've said they're going to write it.
Or you could write, Lita is really smart and fun and Taryn is also present. Because that would be an accurate review.
I feel like my review is more accurate.
On Twitter at Lita Tweeted. And also on Instagram. I want to plug my recaps of Survivor and RuPaul's Drag Race on myentertainmentworld.ca. I write those every week. RuPaul's Drag Race has been intense this season, so I've had a lot of takes out there, so check those out as well.
There you go. All right, so one more time, thank you for joining us. We will see you next time.